Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
And this just in, a heartwarming report of a man who was paralyzed but can now walk again.
The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the paralyzed are walking.
It is unbelievable.
Have you heard about this man? We've seen countless amazing things.
There are so many miracles to report.
Breaking news, a man raised from the dead after 3 days of being in the tomb.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody got enough sleep last night. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Hey, we're going to continue our series today, and it's called The Good News Is. And today we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus provides for us. Jesus provides for us. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced financial insecurity in your life? Have you ever felt like, how are we going to pay the bills? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I ever going to afford a house in San Diego? How can I afford to live in this expensive city? I've been there before. My wife, Karen, and I, when in our early years of our marriage, we experienced some really lean times. And it was like, how are we going to be able to pay the bill? We actually had to get on for a very short season, we had to get on government assistance, you know, and things got really, really bad in between jobs. So I know what that feels like. And if you're going through an experience like that, you might even wonder, like, does God see this? Like, is he aware that we're struggling, that we're going through this really difficult time? Does he even care? So today, we're going to look at the story. We're going to find the story in the Mark chapter 6. And we're going to find out through this story. I think this story is going to encourage you so much that the good news is that God does see us and that he can provide. He is a provider. So in the book of Mark chapter 6, we find Jesus. I'm going to give you a little backstory here so that we actually get into our story. It'll make a little more sense. So in chapter 6, we find Jesus and his disciples in a very, very difficult situation. There's actually a series of events that kind of leads up to this. So the first one, and we're not going to take the time to read these first verses up to our story, but in verses 1 through 6, Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth. And when he gets there, it's a Sabbath, and so he goes into the synagogue and he preaches. And he teaches, but it does not go well at all. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like when he's done, if you know, their vernacular would be kind of like, we didn't really like it, and who are you, and you're no big deal. I mean, this is his hometown. In Mark 6:3, it says this, they scoffed at him. We know he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and they refused to believe in him. That's what I call it, the hometown principle. Maybe you've experienced this in your life. Maybe you've done something significant in your life. I was actually thinking about this, like some of the people that either are a part of this congregation. And some of you, you know, you've done some things that are like, wow, you know, in the eyes of other people, pretty significant. I think of, for instance, Todd over here, who's up on the stage. He was in the X Games. Probably a lot of you guys didn't know that. He was in a movie, you know. I think of one of our board members, Don Blair, back there. He's an architect, and he's built really significant buildings in San Diego. I know that there are some other people. Naomi, I don't think she's here this morning, but she has led a large women's ministry to thousands and thousands of women, and she's the CEO of it. And there, so, you know, but the deal is you can do things like that. And I'm guessing probably, Todd, when you go back to New Jersey, they're like, yeah, so what? Just Todd, right? Pretty much, right? And that's kind of what we call the hometown principle. And so that's kind of what Jesus experienced. That was his experience. And so what does Jesus have to say about this? Well, it says, then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. You know, I would like Jesus to be amazed at me, but not for my unbelief. Wow, that's heavy. So the next thing that happens, Mark 6, verses 6 through 13, and this is a great thing. So Jesus says to his disciples, and he's got his 12 disciples, and he says, hey guys, we've been training you for a while, and it's time to send you out on a mission trip here. And so this is their first experience, and he gives them some very specific instructions. He goes, I want you guys to travel light, so don't bring anything with you. Don't even bring money with you. Just bring your sandals and a stick, basically. And I want you to go into these towns, and I want you just to actually preach the gospel. Just preach that people should repent of their sins and turn to God. And that's what they do. They go out, and everything goes amazing. This is their first missions trip. And if I don't know how long Jesus had been training these guys, but they go out and then they come back, and these guys are stoked. And the word is that they were healing people, and they were casting demons out of people, and they're preaching the gospel, and all kinds of incredible things have been happening when they come back. And so when I think about these guys, I think these guys were really young. They were probably in their early 20s. And I was 22 years old when I went on my first missions trip, and I will never, ever forget it. I was going to my college, and they had what they call a missionary internship program, and I applied for it. And they said, hey, we've chosen you. And so they sent me, of all places, they could have sent me to a lot of places. They sent me to Maui. And this is in the 19. I know it doesn't sound like a mission trip, right? You're like, it sounds like more like a vacation to me. But went over to help a guy plant a church over in Puklani in Maui. In the 1970s, Maui felt a little bit more like a foreign place for sure. And so I got there with a good buddy of mine, Bill English, and it was so long ago. I don't know how many of you remember TWA Airlines. Anybody? Yeah, they don't exist anymore. I had never even been on an airplane, and so my buddy and I jumped on TWA Airlines from San Francisco, and we flew to Maui, and so we were there for the entire summer helping this guy build this church, and I had the opportunity to travel around the island, and I spoke at different churches. And I prayed for people, and I experienced all kinds of amazing things. And let me just tell you, when I got back, man, I was pumped. Came back, and I began just to tell everybody about all the things that I had experienced. And it's one of the reasons, if you know me, you know that I'm passionate about missions and about mission trips and getting people on those trips. And that's why, because it literally changed my life. I came back, and I could not stop talking about it. And all these years later, I still can't stop talking about it. And I've had the privilege of doing a lot of missions trips since that time, and also sending a lot of people on mission trips. And so I say all that to say that if you are ever interested, because we can, here at Pacific Life Church, we do short-term missions right across the border, and we do bigger trips. And man, if you've never experienced, I just would like to invite you to be a part of that. Come see me. We have a missions team here, and we would just love to get you involved in that. So these guys come back from their missions trip, and they're excited. Next thing that happens is not a good thing. So, good thing, and now Jesus hears some really, really horrible news. You're going to find this in verses 14 through 29. And again, we're not going to take the time to read that. But Jesus finds out that his cousin, John, we know him as John the Baptist, has been killed. He's actually been beheaded. And he's been in prison for quite some time. There's a whole backstory to that. And so, when he hears this, you know, he's grieving, just like you and I would, like his cousin, John, he's been beheaded. And so it's a very, very difficult time for him. And so it's all these events that lead up to the story that we're going to look at today. So we're going to get right to it and go to, again, to Mark chapter 6. And we're going to read verses, we're going to start with verse 30. And it says, The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, "Let's go up by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." And he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. And so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. And then Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages, buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they ask. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." And they came back and they reported, "Well, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up toward heaven, and he blessed them. And then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. And he divided the fish for everyone to share. And they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread with fish, and a total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. What an incredible story. By the way, this story is picked up by all of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was such an incredible miracle that they all talked about this one. So I want to circle around 2 big ideas that come out of the story that I think will really, really encourage you today. And the first one is, because Jesus is compassionate, we have nothing to fear. Because he's compassionate, we have nothing to fear. Jesus is, again, let's go back to what's happened up to this point. So Jesus is grieving at the loss of his cousin John, and he and the disciples are exhausted. And they are hungry, it said. They hadn't eaten. And they're just pulling up on this boat. You can imagine the story. In fact, at verse 32, they left by boat for a quiet place. And have you ever in your life been saying, "You know, I just need to get away"? You're going to go do something like that, and you get totally interrupted. And this is one of those moments. And it says that the people recognize them, and so, you know, the people are running up to them. And it says many people from many towns ran along the shore and got ahead of them. So I can only just imagine, here they are getting out of the boat, and they're going, especially the disciples. The disciples are like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. Wow, okay." Now, I want you to pay attention to how Jesus responds to this situation. Again, he's tired, he's worn out, he's hungry, he's grieving. And his disciples, they're pretty worn out too. So here's the question that I had to ask myself, and I think you should ask yourself this question too. If you were in this situation, how would you have responded in that moment, knowing that you are really, really tired and you're grieving, like you just want some alone time? And I think I kind of know how I would have responded, and I don't know if I would have responded like Jesus. But in verse 34, Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and so he began teaching them many things. And so that's what the people came for. They were like, you know, Jesus is famous at this point. They're like, we've heard about him, and they're just hundreds and literally thousands of people have gathered up to hear him. And one of the things that really grabbed me about this story is that word compassion. Because, you know, our word compassion, when we say, I feel compassion in my heart, there's a certain kind of emotion, a certain something we feel. Maybe it's pity, maybe it's empathy for that particular person. But the word that's actually used in the original language, the Greek word that's used, goes far, it's much weightier than our word. It's actually a word that means that you feel so deeply that it actually comes from your bowels. I don't know if you've ever had that expression, something hits you so hard, you're just kind of like, oh, and you just feel it coming from a deep place. It was that kind of compassion. When Jesus looked at the crowds and he saw, you know, that they were Like the scripture says, like sheep without a shepherd, lost, looking for something, hopeless in many cases. He just felt incredible compassion for them, despite the fact that he was hurting at this particular time. You know, what he did really is he put the people's needs ahead of his own. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, isn't it? Especially when you go, hey, I got my own needs, man. I'm hurting, I'm tired, I'm hungry. But Jesus models something for us here. He said, I'm putting myself second and I'm looking out for them. If you've been paying attention to the news, I hope you don't watch the news too much, but if you've been paying attention to all the stuff going on in our country via TV, internet, radio, you know, people at work, at school, however you get your news and all of that that's going on right now, it can really get you upset, especially when they start talking about inflation, start talking about fuel costs going up, start talking about the national debt, you know. I mean, you start talking about all that stuff and you're like, wow. And you can start to worry. I mean, I'll be honest, sometimes when I hear too much of that kind of stuff, I start stressing a little bit. I start worrying. I start thinking about what's going to happen to my wife and I, you know. Are we going to be okay? But then I think about the compassionate Jesus who takes care of us. And the fact that he's promised that he always would take care of us. And I think about the fact, this is probably what helps me the most. I think back in my life and I realize he's never, ever, ever failed us once. Ultimately, the bills did get paid. Ultimately, the resources that we needed came through. And so why should I stress out? Why should I worry? The good news is that Jesus never will fail us and our needs. Now, having said that, I want to make something absolutely clear. Sometimes you hear some of these prosperity preachers out there talking about you can have anything and everything. And there really is a difference between our needs and our greeds. I drive a Honda CRV, and it's a good car. But I wouldn't mind having a Ferrari. Porsche 911 would be pretty cool, you know? But do I need that? No, I don't need that. I just need a vehicle to get me around. And there's a difference in that. So Jesus has promised he will always, always take care of our needs. And here's what I've discovered in my life, sometimes far more than that. Sometimes the other things that I wanted, you know, that necessarily, and even those things, sometimes he blesses me with just because I think he loves his children so much. One of the things that we learn in the Lord's Prayer is where it says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's needs right there. So every day that we get up, we say, God, would you just provide for me? Would you just take care of my needs? And we can depend that he will on him because he's compassionate. He's compassionate. So that was the first thing. The second thing that we see is that we learn that Jesus can do a lot with a little in this story. And that's really, really important. So Jesus looks at this situation. He sees the same situation the disciples see, everybody else sees. And he sees it differently, though. In fact, he sees an opportunity to show us something about God, the kind of God that we serve. So the disciples, being kind of common sense people, are pretty convinced that this is a hopeless situation, especially if we're supposed to feed all the crowd. And they're like, Jesus, send them back. You know, they can go back and send them to, you know, Chick-fil-A and Burger King and Taco Bell or whatever. Just send them back to the places and they can take care of it. We cannot feed all these people. But Jesus has a different solution. He says to his disciples, you feed them. And I'm imagining at first they probably don't even think he's serious. They're like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Sure. Come on, Jesus. But Jesus goes, no. They realize that he actually is serious. He says, somehow they're going to feed them. And so when they sized up the situation in verse 37, we'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people, which is true. Because as we see in the story, there wasn't just hundreds of people. There were thousands of people that were there. And so, you know, Jesus says, well, how much bread do you have? Oh, okay. You know, disciples say, let's go do a search. let's go find out how much food we got around this place and see if maybe we can do something about the situation. So they go out and they come back, and it's even more desperate than they thought. They come back and they say, well, here's what we came up with, Jesus. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's what we got. You know, if you go to John's account of this, you find out that they got those 5 loaves and those 2 fish from a young boy. And it makes me think about, like, was she the only responsible mother that packed a lunch for her son? Seriously? To go to this event? And then it also makes me think about the fact that never did she ever in her wildest imagination dream that lunch would feed hundreds and thousands of people. Because Jesus knows how to multiply and expand. So Jesus tells his disciple, he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get everybody in groups. And so I had never, you know, I've read this a lot of times, but I was reading through a commentary this week, and I never really thought about the purpose in that. And then I thought, so have you ever seen like maybe a documentary, and it's a third world country, and somebody comes in with a huge truck full of food? And usually the next thing you see is a mob scene. And when I talk about a mob, people are jumping on top of each other. Sometimes people are like getting injured and things like that. So Jesus, being Jesus, says, let's do this in an orderly fashion. Let's just, you know, so he gets them in groups of 50 and 100. And it says there's grass. Apparently there's just rolling hills. If you can, I'm just trying to set the scene for you. And so in verse 41, it says, then breaking the loaves of bread into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples. And I thought, wait a minute. It's interesting. He kept giving the bread to the disciples. Like, where's this bread coming from? To distribute to the people. And he also divided the fish for everyone else. So, I mean, this is an amazing scene. And I'm imagining, because he uses the disciples, he says, you feed them. So they come back and they go, here's what we got. We got the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus prays. Next thing he says, okay, here we go, guys. And he starts loading them up with bread and fish. And these guys, I don't know if they had baskets or if their arms were just full. And they're walking around and they're, here's some more. And they come back to Jesus and there's more. Okay, let's take another load. I don't know how many loaves they took. But actually, it says 5,000 men, including women and children. We're probably talking, with women and children, we're probably talking about 12,000 to maybe even up to 15,000 people. And these guys are just going back and forth, and they're seeing an incredible miracle take place. Just the multiplication and expansion of all this food. And the good news, again, is that Jesus can do a lot with just a little. And that, there's really a principle right there. There's a principle that applies to our life, because it's not just about bread and fishes. It's about all the resources that God can provide for us. You think about what is, you have a need right now. You say, well, I don't need bread and fish, but I sure could use, you name it. What would that be for you? What does he need to multiply for you? And maybe it's actually something like emotional strength, because you're just like at your wit's end. Have you ever thought that you could just take whatever you got? Maybe it's a little. You go, you know, I have nothing left. I'm just going through a hard time, and just give that to God and say, God, will you take this? And that he could expand that and even multiply it. Maybe it's just your energy level. And you're like, man, I'm working so hard. I'm working all these hours and I'm just tired. And you just say, God, can I give this to you? And can you help me? And he will. There's so many things that, like resources or things like that, that we can give to God. Maybe it's even in the area of love. You ever run out of love? Just kind of maybe going through a hard season, and you're like, I'm wanting to love people more, but I'm not being very nice. Maybe it's patience. You're running out of patience. And you can take what little you have and give it to Jesus. In the same way that he multiplied the bread and the fishes, he can take, let's just say, patience and say, okay, I know you're doing your best, and I'm going to help you. I think there's a principle here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to expand it for you. When you get into desperate situations, you could always look to God and go, you know, when you come to that place, you go, there's nothing else I can do. There's no hope. I want you to know with Jesus, there's always hope. In 1991, Karen and I went on a snow retreat trip with a bunch of kids. I was a youth pastor at the time in Fallbrook, and we did a snow retreat over at Big Bear. I'll never forget that weekend. We got there, and we had a bus loaded up with about 30 students on the bus with some helpers. And we went to this retreat area with two other churches, and man, we were having a great time. But in 1991, the biggest snowstorm that had almost ever hit that place hit. In fact, if you look back on the almanacs, you'll find it was a record snowfall year, especially when we were there. So there was a blizzard. We got buried in snow. And so we got there on a Friday. And on Monday, we're supposed to leave. And our bus is just buried in snow. So we just told the people at the retreat center, we said, hey, we're going to have to stay here. And they said, actually, you can't stay here. And we're like, what? They said, no, we're out of food. And there's some other things going on. You can't stay here. And so we went out and we dug our bus out of the snow. And they started clearing the roads as much as they could. So we thought, okay, I guess we're going to be okay. And so, you know, we loaded everybody up on the bus, put the chains on the wheels, started making our way out of Big Bear. And we got about 10 miles out and an avalanche happened. And so they turn us around and they said, no, you got to go back into town. You can't leave. So we come back into town and I thought, well, you know, we'll just have to find a hotel or a motel or some accommodations for the night. There was none. There was no room at the inn for us anywhere. And so this is a desperate situation. And, you know, my wife and I and some of the student leaders, we're praying. We're like, God, we can't sleep in the bus. We'll freeze to death. What are we going to do? So we stopped at a place. My wife had to use a restroom, and we stopped at this pizza place. And she walks in and uses a restroom, and somewhere along the way, she sees this woman, and her and this woman begin to have a conversation, and it turns out that she's the owner of this pizza place. And as my wife tells her about our situation, she says, well, I got a couple of places your students can stay at. I guess probably the equivalent today of like an Airbnb, and she had two of them. They were pretty sizable. She said, your students can stay with me, and it's on me. I'm like, what? We bought a whole bunch of pizza from her, by the way. Like a lot of pizza. This woman totally blessed us. But that was a miracle. You know, I could sit here for the next several hours and tell you about miracle after miracle after miracle that I've seen in my life. My wife and I could tell you about all kinds of miracles we've seen in our life. Because Jesus is compassionate, and because Jesus can multiply. Because Jesus can come through in the most difficult circumstances that you're going through, but you just have to believe it. That's why, you know, we stress and we worry and we hear the bad news, inflation and all the fuel costs and everything. In Matthew 6, 31 through 33, it says, so don't, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of, catch this, unbelievers. People who don't know God, but you do. But your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. You know, this was said a long time ago, and when Jesus was saying this, the primary concern would be food and clothing and what you're going to drink. That would be big. Today, in 2024, it looks a little bit different, but it's the same principle. It's like, God, I need, you know, my computer is down, and it's my work, or you know, my car is not working, or whatever your need is, God knows about your need, and Jesus, the principle applies the same in 2024. And then in verse 33, and this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does that actually mean? But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's just God's way of saying, look, if you will make me the first priority of your life, I will make sure that you are a priority. If you look after what I care about, which is righteousness and advancing my kingdom, I'll always take care of you. You'll never be without. In fact, you don't even have to worry. I've got you covered. But the question is this. Do you actually believe that? Will you actually trust him enough to say, okay, God, I'm going to put you first in every category of my life and see what happens? So what do we learn from this story? We learn that Jesus is compassionate towards our needs, and we learn that Jesus can do a lot with just a little. And I don't know how that applies to your life today, but I'm sure that some of you here today, you've got something going on. You have a need. You have a concern. Maybe you have a desperate situation. And I would just encourage you from this story to understand God's got you covered. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us so much, that your compassion is so profound and so deep that we can't even understand it. A lot of times we are like sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes we get a little lost. Sometimes we come up a little bit short and like, God, what am I going to do? Help us to know that we are always seen by you, that you always know about what's going on in our life, and that you care deeply. Lord, help us to always remember that whatever we can give you, even if it's just a little of whatever, you can multiply that. You can expand that to meet our need and bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.